If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Genesis chapter 12. That's where we're going to start this morning. We're actually going to hit Genesis 12, Genesis 22 this morning. We're continuing our series titled The Bible, A True Story, as we're taking a look at this amazing book, the Bible, that God has given us, one, to better know Him, but also to know who it is that He desires us to be. And so far we've looked at the story of creation, we've looked at how it all began, we've looked at the fall where sin entered the world, we looked at Cain and Abel where we started to see the consequences of allowing sin to enter the world, we looked at Noah and the judgment God brought upon the earth, and the fact that Noah was a man of faith who put his beliefs into action. That's what we talked about last week. And today we're going to look at a man named Abraham, who, like Noah, was known as a man of faith. And it's because of his faith that God ended up making him the father of all nations. And so this morning, we're gonna look at two stories in the Bible about Abraham. And in both of these stories, we see evidence of his great faith in the Lord. Now, It's been somewhere between 350, 400 years since the flood, okay? Kind of trying to look, when you look through and you try to study, there's some different views and beliefs of things and crossover, and doesn't really say when Abraham, there's some different things in there. And so when I was reading, they think it's somewhere between 350 to 400 years now where we're picking up since the flood. And in Genesis 11, it actually gives us kind of genealogy from Noah all the way through to Abraham. And we see that the earth, once again, after the flood now, is being repopulated. And one of the people who live on this earth is this man named Abram. You're going to see in this scripture first scripture we're going to read that they refer to him as Abram, but he later became Abram. Abraham, the father of all nations. And so I want to start this morning by reading Genesis 12, and we're just going to read verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. This is what it says in Genesis 12, 1 through 6. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, who later we know as Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." And that's where we're going to stop this morning. And so we see here in this section of Scripture, God is asking Abraham to leave everything he knew. Why? Because God had a plan for his life. Now think about that. He has lived his whole life in this area, growing up with these people, his parents, all of his extended family. This is where they all live. This is everything. This is all he's ever known. And now God is asking him to leave it all behind and to head off to some new place. Abraham had no idea where God was taking him or what it would be like. But we see God said, "Go." And so what did Abraham do? He went. To just pack up and leave like he did would have taken great faith, right? Don't you believe that? To leave your family, to leave everything behind in this new world again, right? All this new creation happening since the flood. To leave all that behind would have definitely taken great faith. If you were here last week, we talked about the fact that faith shows itself in many different ways. right? That if I were to ask you, you know, a definition of faith, we'd get different answers, and probably all of them would be correct in some aspect or in some way. There are numerous definitions of faith, numerous ways that we can show faith or express faith in our lives. And so this morning, I want to take a look at one of the ways that Abraham expressed or that he demonstrated his faith. And the number one point I have for you this morning is this. He obeyed when it didn't make sense. How many of you are like, yeah, sweet, that's what I want to do. I want to obey when it doesn't make sense. Half of us don't want to obey even when it does make sense, right? But he obeyed when it didn't make sense. And if you really want to get technical about faith, faith is obeying God, period, right? It's obeying God, period. And Abraham is a perfect example of someone who obeyed God, period. Even when it didn't make sense. And Abraham did it over and over again. As I mentioned earlier, I want to look at two sections of Scripture this morning. And so if you have your Bible, you can flip to Genesis chapter 22. Most of you know this story. It's a very common story. We hear it in Sunday school, which sometimes I'm like, that's got to be scary for kids in Sunday school to hear this story, to think God would tell my dad to go sacrifice me on an altar. Oh my gosh, you know. But we've heard this story. We grew up with this story. And so we know it. And we know, many of us know about Abraham, right? After God had told Abraham he would have a son and become the father of many nations, The promise was fulfilled when Abraham and Sarah, in their old age, finally gave birth to Isaac. Right? We know that that was kind of the beginning of that promise, to be the father of all nations. But then we come to Genesis 22, right, where God decides to test Abraham, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. And like I said, most of you know this scripture, but we're going to read Genesis 22, 1-14. This is what it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. And I imagine at this moment, Abraham's like, wait, just a sec, man. I haven't cleaned my ears in a while. What did you say? Because it sounded like you said, sacrifice my son. But I'm sure you wouldn't have said that, Lord. Can you say that again? Go sacrifice your son. And so what does Abraham do? Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. You know there he didn't talk to his wife, Sarah. It doesn't say anything about that, right? It's like, can you imagine? Hey, honey, God told me I'm going to go sacrifice our son. I'll see you later. She'd be like, no, you're not, you know, right? It's like, I'm not even going to tell my wife. I'm just trusting in God here. I'm just going to take off and go. And so it says, he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Again, great faith of Abraham. We will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can you imagine that question? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I can't even imagine this. Isaac sitting here going, all right, where are the cameras? This is like candid camera or something, isn't it, right? You know, it's like, Dad, what are you doing, right? I mean, can you imagine what this would have been like? And as he gets ready, it says the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And I imagine he's like, "Here I am, here I am. What? Please tell me I'm not having to do this." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Now again, we have to understand Isaac here. He's the offspring that was going to make Abraham the father of all nations. And God is asking him to sacrifice this son that, "Wait, I've waited all these years, 100 years old, I finally have this son, and now you're asking me to sacrifice him." This section of Scripture once again proves that Abraham demonstrated his faith by being obedient, even when it didn't make sense. When you look at this situation from a perspective, especially in today's world, right, it doesn't make sense. Neither of these things that God asked Abraham to do made sense from a human perspective. To pack up and leave your family and go off to some foreign land to sacrifice your one and only son, they don't make sense. But as we look at these two sections of Scriptures, I actually think that they give us some insight in regards to obedience to the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. When we look at the first section of Scripture, I think we need to understand this about obedience. And the first thing is that God knows the end result. God knows what's going to happen when we don't. He knows the end result when we don't. When Abraham was told to pack up and to leave to a foreign land, he had no idea what was in store for his life. But God did. God knew from the very beginning. He knew what he would go through. He knew the challenges. He knew the difficulties. He knew how he would get from here to there. God knew that it's through this that he would become the father of all nations. You see, being obedient doesn't always make sense. That's why it requires something called faith. It requires faith. You see, we always think that we know what's best, right? We always think that we know what's best for our lives. But the truth is, if you really want to be honest, we don't have a clue. We really don't know what's best. We think, and we may have some thoughts and ideas, but when it comes to it, we don't have a clue. When we do things our way, when we fail to walk in obedience, we have a way of messing things up, don't we? "Oh, I got this. Yeah. I can do this. And we mess it up. And oftentimes, we miss out on the blessings that God wants to pour out upon us. You know, I wonder this. How many times have we missed blessings God had for us because of our lack of obedience? God said to do something, and we don't follow through. We don't do it. And so we miss out on the blessing. And when I say blessing, I'm not talking about financial blessing. A lot of people, when they hear that word, they go to financial or material things. You know, I do believe God blesses us in that way, and there are times God, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings that we receive when we walk in faith. When we live the lives that God has called us to live, we experience supernatural spiritual blessings. And I understand the challenges. Believe me, obedience is a difficult thing. It's a challenging thing. If you've been around here for any period of time, you've heard me tell my story. You know, I had no desire to be a senior pastor. I was happy being a youth pastor. That was the most amazing thing in the world. That was all I had dreamed about. I wanted to be a youth pastor. And so that's all I wanted. And I wanted to do that for the rest of my life. And here's the thing. I know that could have been possible, okay? One of my mentors, who I love and I've looked up to for years, who I especially made the move from Eugene to Newburgh, I went and met with him and processed things, and he encouraged me, and I would meet with him from time to time. I'd go down to Eugene and connect with him. One of my mentors, he retired just a few months ago as the high school pastor from a church down in Eugene. He was 64 years old. And actually, he just turned 65 this month. So he was just about to turn 65, and he retired. And honestly, the only reason I think he retired is because the church he was in kind of has a clause that at 65, you retire and become more not staff, but oversight leadership. And otherwise, who knows how much longer he would have gone. 64 years. I used to joke with him. I used to say, hey, dude, however many years you go, I'm going to go 1 year more. And he's laughing now because I didn't even come close. I planted this church and turned 40 within the week after I planted this church. And so he got me by 24 years. So I wasn't even close. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to be a youth pastor for life. And I was ready to spend the rest of my life in Newburgh, youth pastoring, loving kids. That was my desire. But then God asked me if I was willing to give up my desire, if I was willing to give up my preferred future to follow His, if I was willing to pack up my family and plant a church in a town that I knew nothing about. Honestly, man, when I came, I drove out to Dallas one day when God was kind of stirring in me. I thought Dallas was like a town of maybe 2,000 people. I thought it was just small. All I'd ever done is come from Newburgh to the drive-in. That's all I'd ever done. And so I'm thinking it's just this like little, 2,000, I drive in. I'm like, whoa, this is like bigger than Newburgh was when I moved to Newburgh, I didn't know anything about it. And then the fact that I had no formal education, I had no desire to be a senior pastor, it didn't make sense. But it wasn't about making sense. It was about being obedient. I had no idea what the future would hold, but God did. And I was scared to death. I don't know why, and I've shared this before. For whatever reason, all these senior pastors, as I'm getting ready to leave and plant this church, thought it would be cool to tell me the stories of their first church plant that crashed and burned. And so I'm like, seriously, God? I don't want to go to Dallas and crash and burn. I had no idea what it was in store. But if that's what you have for me, God, I'm going to go. And then if I crash and burn, then I'll go back, and then I'll be the youth pastor for life. Okay, whatever you say. I had no idea what the future would hold, but God did. And I can tell you, through all the challenges and difficulties, I wouldn't change it for anything. The blessings that I get every single Sunday when I look out at this congregation, I'm not going to look out right now because I'll probably start crying, but when I look out at you guys, I see the stories and the awesome things that God's doing. That's one of the things, we were at a conference this last fall, and a pastor was talking about, how do you measure success in a church? Because so many people, they go, oh, numbers and growth and numbers. And I love, because he said, man, it's about the stories. Are stories happening in your church? Are their lives being impacted? And we've got some great stories in our church of what God's doing, how God's moving in people's life. And it's a blessing to see what God's doing here every week. It's the greatest blessing that I've ever experienced in ministry. And I had no idea what I was in for when I began this process of planning a church. But God did. And that's why we do it, because we have faith that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that His ways are higher than our ways, that He knows things that we don't. Even through the difficulties and the challenges and the hard times, we trust that God has a plan and that He is faithful to complete that plan. Amen? Obedience can be a tough thing when it doesn't make sense. I want to share a story with you. I know I shared this a few years back, but I love this illustration. It goes like this. Once there was an emperor in the Far East who was growing old and knew it was coming time to choose his successor. Instead of choosing one of his assistants or one of his distant relatives, because he had no children of his own, he decided to do something different. He called all the young people in the kingdom together one day. He said, it has come time for me to step down and to choose the next emperor. I have decided to choose one of you. The kids were shocked and amazed. But the emperor continued, I am going to give each one of you a seed today. One seed. It's a very special seed. And I want you to go home. Plant the seed. Water it. Come back here 1 year from today with what you've grown from this one seed. One seed. I will then judge the plants that you bring to me, and the one I choose will be the next emperor of the kingdom. There was one boy named Ling who was there that day, and he, like others, received a seed. He went home and excitedly told his mother the whole story. She helped him get a pot and some planting soil, and he planted the seed and he watered it carefully. Every day he would water it, and he would watch it, looking, waiting to see it grow. After about 3 weeks, some of the other kids began to talk about their seeds and the plants that were beginning to sprout up. Ling kept going home and checking his seed, but nothing ever grew. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks went by, still nothing. By now, others were talking about their plants, but Ling had nothing, and he felt like a total failure. 6 months went by, nothing in Ling's pot. He knew he must have killed his seed, overwatered it or something. Everyone else had trees and tall plants, but his pot was empty. Ling didn't say anything to his friends, however. He just kept waiting for his seed, hoping that maybe someday it would begin to sprout. A year finally went by, and all the kids of the kingdom brought their plants to the emperor for inspection. Ling told his mother that he wasn't going to take an empty pot, but she encouraged him to go and to be honest about what happened, that you gave it your best. Ling felt sick to his stomach, but he knew his mom was right. So he took his empty pot to the palace. When Ling arrived, he was amazed at the variety of plants grown by all the other kids. They were beautiful in all shapes and sizes. Ling put his empty pot on the floor, and many of the other kids began to laugh at him. A few felt sorry for him and just said, "Hey, nice try, Ling." When the emperor arrived, he surveyed the room and greeted the young people. Ling tried his best to hide in the back and to hide his pot. "My, what great plants, trees, and flowers you have grown," said the emperor. "Today, one of you will be appointed the next emperor." All of a sudden, the emperor spotted Ling at the back of the room with his empty pot. He ordered his guards to bring him to the front immediately. Ling was terrified. "The emperor knows I'm a failure. I showed up with nothing. Maybe he's going to have me killed." When Ling got to the front, the emperor asked him his name. My name is Ling, sir." All the kids were laughing and making fun of him. The emperor quieted them down. He looked at Ling, and then he announced to the crowd, "Behold, your new emperor, Ling." Ling was astonished. He couldn't believe it. Ling couldn't even grow a seed. How could he be the new emperor? Then the emperor said to everyone, "1 year ago today, I gave everyone here a seed. I told you to take that seed, to plant it, to water it, and to bring it back to me today. But I gave all of you boiled seeds, which cannot grow. All of you except Ling have brought me trees and plants and flowers, which means when you found that the seed would not grow, you substituted another seed for the one I gave you." Ling was the only one with the courage and honesty to bring me a pot with my seed in it. Therefore, because of his obedience, he is the one who will be the new emperor. I love that story. I'm pretty sure it's a fictitious story, but it illustrates a great point. You see, I'm guessing that most of us, if we were in Ling's position, would have either done what the other kids did and planted another seed, or just not have shown up at all. I know I would have been afraid to plant another seed, because I would have been afraid to show up and the king go, "Wait, that's not the seed I gave you." You know, I'd have been afraid of that. So I just wouldn't have shown up. I'd have been like, "No, it didn't work. I'm a failure." I wouldn't have showed up. But Ling did exactly what the emperor told him to do. He took the seed home, he watered it, he cared for it, and he brought it back 1 year later. If we want to be people of faith, it means that sometimes we need to walk in obedience, even when it doesn't make sense. That's what we see Abraham did here. He walked in obedience when it didn't make sense. Now the second thing that we can learn about obedience from these scriptures is this. Sometimes our obedience is more about obedience than what it is that God is asking us to do. I know that's a long one, long point there. But sometimes our obedience is more about obedience than what it is God is asking us to do. Let me explain what I mean here. Did God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac because he wanted Isaac to die? No. He asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac because he wanted to see if Abraham was committed to doing his will. God wanted to know if Abraham really loved him more than he loved Isaac. And the real question is, did Abraham love God more than anything? That's what this was about. That's what this test was about. Because the truth is, God is supposed to be number one in our lives. You shall have no other gods. You shall have nothing before me, right? God's supposed to be number one in our life. God wants us to put him above anything and everything else. Which means he wants us to put him above our spouse, above our kids, above our stuff, above anything and everything. God wants us to be people who listen to his voice, who hears what he tells us to do, and then we walk in obedience regardless of what it is. Regardless of what it is he's asking us to do. You see, so often we fail to walk in obedience because whatever it is that God is asking us to do, number one, it seems too difficult. What? I can't do it. What? Senior pastor? Are you crazy? I don't have any education. I don't have it. It seems too difficult. Or whatever it is he's asking us to give up is more important than he is. Wait, God, I love this too much. Maybe I love it more than you. So oftentimes we decide to quit because it's too hard, or we hold on to whatever it is instead of being obedient and moving forward in faith. We have to be willing to walk in obedience, even if it means giving up something that we love. Even if it means that it may get a little bit challenging, a little bit above our head. You know what God said to my wife when we were praying about church? What the next direction was? He says, go where you're in over your head. How many of you want to hear that? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Because we want to be able to handle things, right? And God says, no, it's not about you handling things. It's about me handling things. Even if it means things might get a little bit challenging. Because here's the thing, if we don't, we begin to find ourselves instead walking in disobedience when we fail to do what God has told us to do. Several years ago, I read a book titled Do Hard Things. It's a great book, actually, if you want to read it. It's funny because it was written by a couple of 17-year-olds, and it was really written to, like, middle school, high school, college age, really challenging them not to just get by, but it's a great book, Do Hard Things. And this book talks about our tendency oftentimes to just do enough to get by, right? To just do enough. But the reality is we don't serve a God of just enough. We serve a God that challenges us to do hard things, a God that challenges us to give our all, to give everything, a God who challenges us to listen to him and to walk in obedience. This week I was reminded of a story by one of our council members. The story goes like this. A man was sleeping at night in his cabin, and when suddenly his room filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man he had works for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. This the man did, day after day. For many years, he toiled from sun up to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, and he would just push and push with all his might. Each night, the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, the devil decided to enter the picture by placing thoughts into the man's weary mind. You've been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't budged. Why are you killing yourself over this? You're never going to move that rock. This gave the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. Why kill myself over this? He began to think. I'll just put in my time, giving just the minimum effort, and that will be good enough. And that is what he planned to do until one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer. And he took his troubled thoughts to the Lord. Lord, he said, I've labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after this time, I've not even budged that rock but by even a half a millimeter. What's wrong? Why am I failing? The Lord responded compassionately. My child, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you've come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you've failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscular. Your back is broad and brown. Your hands are tough and calloused from constant pressure. Your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my friend, will now move the rock. It's a great story. A lot of us sit there and go, wow, that's me. I've gone through that. I've been pushing the rock, feeling like nothing. And maybe it's just more about being obedient than what it is God has asked us to do. God has asked us, God's desire is that we would be faithful to do whatever it is He asks us to do, whether it makes sense or not. And when we do what He's asked us to do, when we learn to walk in obedience, I really believe that His blessings will follow. And again, it's those spiritual blessings that God pours out upon us. At camp several years ago, one of my youth pastor buddies, and when I say several years ago, I'm talking like 12 years ago, one of my youth pastor buddies was talking about faithfulness. And I remember he would do this little thing about walking in faith, and he was kind of just demonstrating it. He's just up front. He's like, man, sometimes we just got to walk in faith. We just got to be faithful. Faithful, right? And he's just up there, faithful. And he just keeps saying it, faithful. Faithful. And you're like, okay, I get it, faithful. And you think he's about ready to stop. It's just faithful. Faithful. And you're like, okay, I get it, Darren, faithful. Faithful, right? And you're like, I get it. And he just keep going, faithful. And you're like, okay, all right. You want to throw something at him. Okay, boom. You know, stop. I get it. Faithful, faithful, faithful. And he just keep going. And then all of a sudden he go, faithful, faithful, fruitful. You see, continued obedience, it's faithfulness. And God's desire is that we continue to walk in obedience, that we continue to be faithful, 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 faithful. Continue to push and be faithful, faithful, faithful. And then God says, okay, now I'm going to make you fruitful. not because of anything we've done, not because of our strength in pushing, but because of our faithfulness, we experience His fruitfulness. He wants to pour out those blessings upon us. The problem is often we fail to walk in obedience because a lot of times we're like the other kids in the story I read earlier. When we don't see the fruitfulness, when we're there being faithful, watering, watching, hoping, trusting, and we're not seeing anything begin to sprout up, when we don't see what we think we should be seeing, what do? We take things into our own hands. Oh, here, I got a seed. I got a better seed that will actually work. No, that's not God's desire. And the problem is our choices and decisions become based upon our ideas and our thoughts of how things should be instead of what God wants to do. It's about walking in obedience. It's about allowing His will to be fulfilled in and through us. It's about faithful, fruitful lives. Abraham made God the number one priority in his life, and because of that, he was faithful to be obedient, even when it didn't make sense. And like Abraham, I want to be known as a man of faith. When people look back at my life, I want people to say, Darren, man, you know one thing you can say about him? He was a man of faith. He trusted in God. He put his obedience in the Lord. Period. Whether it made sense or not. And I hope the same is true for all of us. That our desire is to be people who are faithful and trust in the Lord and walk in His obedience. Amen? Let me pray. Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for this word, Lord. Abraham, what a man of faith. And even that, Lord, we can go back and look at Abraham and look at points where he failed, where he messed up, where he tried to take things into his own hands. And that's just a reminder, Lord, because sometimes we can look at Abraham and go, oh man, I can never be like Abraham. But Abraham was human like us. He made mistakes. But when he messed up, he sought the Lord, he sought Your forgiveness, and he began to push on to do his best to live that life of faithfulness, Lord. And that's Your desire for us, Lord. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up at times. But Your desire is that we pick ourselves up and we begin to walk in obedience, Lord. That we begin to be faithful and continue to serve You, Lord. And so, Lord, we just thank You for this word this morning. We thank You for the example of Abraham, Lord. The example of his faithfulness. To be obedient when it didn't make sense. Lord, there are times You ask us to do things and we sit there and go, what? There's no point to this. And so we begin to do other things. But Lord, we don't understand because Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, Lord. And we have to understand that and we have to be willing to trust in You. To trust in Your timing and Your way and Your hand upon our lives. That if You've called us to it, You'll give us what we need to do it, Lord. And that in the midst of pushing, we may not realize, Lord, that You are just strengthening us. You are helping us become stronger in You, whether we even realized it or not. And so, Lord, help us to be people who walk in faith, who walk in obedience, who live our lives fully for You, Lord. We thank You for these things. Allow Your word today, Lord, just to penetrate our hearts. Lord, I love that we're all at different places on this journey and how You meet us where we're at. And so, Lord, today, allow this word to touch each of us where we're at. What is it that we need to take from this morning, Lord, and not just something that, okay, we hear it, that's a good word, good job, let's move on. No, it's okay. Lord, how am I going to be different tomorrow because of what You spoke into me today? How am I going to begin to live out this life of faithfulness? How am I going to be able to live out this life of obedience? And so we give that to You, Lord. May You challenge us and encourage us to be the people that You've called us to be, to live the lives that You've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.